Morning, everybody. I'm Brianna Teller, and I've been coming to Cedar Ridge off and on for probably about 15 years. And I think we've been members since maybe 2017. I can't remember. I'm really excited today to give this talk about Encanto. I have a four-year-old, and I've probably seen this movie at least 60 times, maybe more. I've also probably cried most of the time since I watched it. There's just so much thought and meaning in this movie, and I'm so excited to discuss it with you guys. I'm sad that we can't explore every theme, and that we can't just listen to the whole soundtrack and talk about that. But it really is a beautiful work of art, and it just so perfectly ties together. But with God in the movies in mind, I thought I would focus on two specific elements of the movie that really stood out to me and my relationship with God. The first is the role of compassion and grace in our relationships and also within ourselves. And the second is the value and importance of community. So with that, I'll let the movie do its own job of setting the stage with our first clip.
Abre los ojos. Open your eyes.
A girl with big round glasses opens one eye, then the other.
This is where our magic comes from?
Mm-hmm. This candle holds the miracle given to our family.
How did we get a miracle?
Long ago, when my three babies had just been born, your abuelo Pedro and I were forced to flee our home.
In a flashback, Pedro leads a group with a lantern.
And though many joined us, hoping to find a new home, we could not escape the dangers.
The shapes of horsemen appear in the mist behind them.
And your abuelo was lost.
With his hands up, he crosses to them and vanishes.
But in our darkest moment, we were given a miracle. The candle became a magical flame that could never go out. And it blessed us with a refuge in which to live. A place of wonder.
An encanto.
An encanto. The miracle grew.
The magical flame radiates outward from a candle at the young mother's feet and forms a building.
And our house. Our casita itself came alive to shelter us.
The doors and windows open welcomingly. The young mother waves to the house.
When my children came of age, the miracle blessed each with a magic gift to help us.
Their silhouettes stand before glowing doorways.
And when their children came of age,
they got magic too.
That's right. And together, our family's gifts have made our new home a paradise.
Sparkles float from the candle.
Tonight, this candle will give you your gift, mi vida. Strengthen our community. Strengthen our home. Make your family proud.
Make my family proud.
She sees fireworks bursting outside. The floorboards move, bouncing in a clock that shows 7 o'clock.
Yes, yes, casita. We're going.
The floorboards bounce a pair of shoes in front of the girl. She puts them on and takes her grandmother's hand.
What do you think my gift will be?
You are a wonder, Mirabel Madrigal. Whatever gift awaits will be just as special as you.
Young Mirabel walks toward a door that twinkles with light. As she reaches for the doorknob, the light swells, filling the screen, then recedes into a title.
So the first words in the movie come from Abuela to her granddaughter Mirabel. Abre los ojos, open your eyes. And while she's speaking literally in that moment, this phrase sets the stage for the entire film. This movie is all about compassion and the role that perspective plays in our lives. In this moment, she is showing Mirabel the origin of the family's magic, an encanto, which is a gift or a charm. Through Mirabel's eyes, we learn about the family miracle with childlike wonder in a story that has become almost a family parable. And it's this parable that guides them to continue their faith and dedication in its practice. And while it's born out of pain, there are so many blessings from the miracle that they try not to talk about the sadness. From Abuela's perspective, their miracle is tied up in their faithfulness and their dedication and service to the community. They are servants of this miracle. In some ways, the wonderment of Mirabel reminds me of my faith as a child. It's mysterious and magical and joyful. In Luke, we read that people were bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." We're exploring how mystery and wonder are crucial elements of our faith. Children accept all manner of explanations with curiosity and wonder, and sometimes we need that for our belief. However, as we will learn in the movie, this cannot be the only thing that sustains our faith. As we start to move through the movie, we learn that each family member is given a gift when they're 5 years old, and they're intended to use that gift as an expression of their dedication to the community. They believe it is this work and dedication that keeps the miracle intact. So now, since we're not going to watch the fun song about the family setup, I thought I would show you a little breakdown of the family and just explain their miracles. So first we have Abuela, and she was married to Pedro, who is unfortunately now deceased. Abuela is the caretaker of the miracle and ensuring it survives. She has 3 children, triplets, Pepa, Bruno, and Julieta. Pepa, who's married to Felix, has the power to control the weather with her mood. And they have 3 children, Dolores, who has exceptional hearing, Camilo, who can shapeshift into other people, and Antonio, who we learn as the movie progresses, can talk to animals. Next, we have Bruno, who is the second triplet, and he can see the future. But because of conflict that stemmed from his gift, he's no longer living with the family or using his gift. And we learn in the song, "We Don't Talk About Bruno," all about that. This is another example of pain and discomfort that's discarded under the guise of protecting the gift. Lastly is Julieta, and she is married to Augustine, and they also have 3 kids. The first is Isabella, and she is the gift that she can grow plants instantly, which I'm very jealous of, like that gift. Then there's Luisa, who has super strength. And lastly, we have Mirabel, and we learned in the movie that she did not get a gift. Mirabel not receiving a gift was very difficult for the family because it presented a problem that was open to various interpretations and left the family with many fears. Was the miracle dying? Did someone do something wrong? Was something wrong with Mirabel? When this happens, it's all eventually swept under the rug. They don't really talk about it. But as we soon start to learn, this miracle is not so black and white. There's complexity and wonder that forces the family to explore. And we start to experience this uncertainty as Mirabel grows up and her involvement with the family becomes more complex. However, Abuela does not believe that this is how the family should preserve the miracle. And in the next clip, we learn of the toll it's taking on the whole family, but especially Mirabel.
I knew you could do it. A gift just as special as you.
A smile fades from Mirabel's face.
We need a picture.
Everyone, come.
It's a great night. It's a perfect night.
Everyone, together.
La familia mágica.
Time slows down as they all pose for a picture without Mirabel. Isabella sending an arc of flower petals into the air, Luisa holding a boulder overhead, and Peppa haloed by a rainbow. Mirabel's shoulders sag.
Can be upset or mad at all. Don't feel regret or sad at all. Hey, I'm still a part of the family, Madrigal, and I'm fine, I am totally fine. I will stand on the side as you shine. I'm not fine, I'm not fine. I can't move the mountains, I can't make the flowers bloom, I can't take another night up in my room waiting on a miracle. I can't heal what's broken, can't control the morning rain or a hurricane, can't keep down the unspoken pain, always waiting on a miracle, a miracle. Always walking alone, always wanting for more. Like I'm still at that door, longing to shine like all of you shine. All I need is a change, all I need is a chance.
Circles around a stationary abuela. Peers up at the candle in the third story window.
Am I too late for a miracle?
While she stands alone at the foot of the staircase, something falls into the courtyard, drawing her attention. She sees a Spanish roof tile swaying on the ground. As she goes over to it, more tiles begin to tremble above. Kneeling to the ground, Mirabel picks up the broken tile and cuts her hand on its sharp corner. She drops it, then eyes her bleeding palm over the shattered pieces of ceramic. The floor tiles begin to quake.
Casita?
Mirabel reaches toward them, but hesitates. A crack appears in the tiles. The crack spreads across the floor of the courtyard. Mirabel sees it leading to a short flight of steps and follows it down and around to another staircase, where the portrait of her grandfather hangs above the landing. Cracks continue across the wall behind it. Mirabel runs upstairs to follow them and sees them spreading along the rafters and stucco. They trail behind the twinkling magical doors of Isabella's and Luisa's rooms. Mirabel turns to see them extending past all the other magical doors as well. The cracks run all the way up from the breezeway toward the third floor, where they converge upon the window with the candle. Its light dims, and all of the magical doors begin to flicker. Seeing the candle's flame start to falter, Mirabel's eyes...
We quickly learn that Mirabel is experiencing so many emotions all at once. She's obviously very loving and supportive of her cousin Antonio, and happy that he received a gift. At the same time, she's sad and upset, and realizes that she can't show any of those emotions around her family. During Waiting on a Miracle, we see what that separateness and devaluing has done to Mirabel over time. She's so dedicated to her family, and yet she's treated differently because she doesn't have a gift. And this has impacted how she sees herself and the world. In another reference to sight, she begs her grandmother to open her eyes, that her faith and dedication to the family is just as strong as the rest. But the family's compassion and understanding for Mirabel is just not there. Other parts of the movie show her being told to step aside and that her effort isn't wanted because it's just not good enough. Even her mother, who obviously loves her for who she is, warns her not to be brazen in the family for fear of Mirabel becoming an outcast like her uncle, Bruno. Upon closer inspection, we see there are cracks in the family, and these turn into actual cracks in their house and the diminished strength of the miracle. At first, only Mirabelle, who is tuned into the problem, can see these cracks. But soon, these signs begin to grow to the whole family. Even though she won't discuss it with anybody, Mirabelle soon learns that her grandmother is also scared of the cracks, because it would mean the family might lose their home again. She asks her deceased husband to open her eyes and help her understand why. But at the same time, Abuela is too scared to accept anything different than what she's known for the last 50 years. Mirabelle's sister, Luisa, is also feeling the pressure to be perfect, even though she's struggling with the weight of her expectations. As Mirabelle starts to investigate the cracks further, we learn that Tio Bruno had a vision on the very subject, on this very subject, on the night that Mirabelle didn't receive her gift. It showed Mirabelle in front of the house with cracks forming everywhere. Bruno actually left the family because he was scared of what might happen to Mirabelle if the vision was revealed. But now the secret is out, and soon the family finds out that Mirabelle may be the source of the problems with the miracle. Because of this, or because each of the family has their own ideas and expectations, they've put themselves in this prison of fear. There's no compassion for each other, no grace to struggle with their gifts, and the family is beginning to grow weaker because of it. This old wound is suddenly reopened, and the family has a wide range of reactions. Fear, curiosity, and shame all become a part of this chaos. And during all this commotion, Mirabelle actually finds Bruno hiding in the walls and asks him about the vision. He continues to insist it's best to hide and ignore the issue because there's just nothing to be done about it. And Mirabelle, though, she's not swayed, and she encourages him to re-examine his vision. That's the next clip.
You can't hurry the future. He bends the circle around a capybara that won't move.
What if I show you something worse? If I see something that you don't like, you're going to be all, Bruno makes bad things happen. Oh, he's creepy and his vision killed my goldfish.
I don't think you make bad things happen. Sometimes family weirdos just get a bad rap. You can do this.
Antonio hands Bruno his stuffed jaguar.
Partners.
He hops astride the live jaguar and rides off.
I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this.
Bruno reaches inside his poncho and pulls out a handful of salt, which he throws over his shoulder before striking a match and setting fire to a pile of kindling. Pulling out a flaming twig, he uses it to ignite some oil inside mounds of sand that are positioned inside the circle. The jungle darkens and a wind kicks up. Mirabelle looks around anxiously while Bruno sits in a meditative pose before the fire. In town, Abuela and the villagers look up disquietedly at the darkening sky. Back inside the house, Bruno's door begins to glow. Meanwhile, he shakes out his hands and cracks his knuckles.
You might want to hang on.
He offers his hands to Mirabelle, who takes hold. Bruno shuts his glowing eyes. Green speckles light up from the ring of sand, which swirls upward to form a dome. Blown backwards, a toucan bites onto a hanging gourd to steady itself. The carvings in the Bruno door shine brighter. Under the swirling dome, he opens his glowing eyes again. Mirabelle gapes in awe while the capybara just stares matter-of-factly. Visions appear in the swirling sand. They show the house breaking apart and Felix rescuing Antonio from falling debris. Then the vision of Mirabelle standing out front. Cracks appear and disappear in the house behind her.
It's just the same thing. I gotta stop.
No! I need to know which way it comes. There's gotta be an answer. Something we're not seeing.
You're looking at the same thing that I am. If there was something else.
There! Over there!
Butterfly! Follow the butterfly!
In the sandstorm, the glowing shape of a butterfly lands atop a reed.
Where is that?
It's all out of order. It's the candle! The candle's getting brighter! I think you're gonna help the candle!
How?
There's someone with you, and you, you're a fighter!
What?
Wait, no. Is that a hug?
Am I fighting or hugging?
An embrace! To make the candle bright, you have to embrace her!
Embrace who?
Oh, almost there.
Who is it?
Almost there. Oh, I got it!
A woman's shape tosses her hair back.
Isabella!
The swirling dome collapses, dumping sand all over Bruno and the capybara.
Oh, your sister! That's great!
Mirabelle grimaces.
Every time.
Later.
Why would embracing Isabella do anything?
I don't know. Our family got a miracle. How do you help a family miracle? You hug a sister.
Camilo's head shrinks to baby size.
Mirabel! Oh, I think we're running out of time here.
It's not gonna work. She won't hug me, ever, okay? She hates me. Also, I don't know if you heard, I ruined her proposal. Plus, P.S. Mirabel. It is just annoying. Oh, of course it's Isabella. Mirabel. And what's her problem with me anyway? She's the one with roses coming out of
her- Mirabel! Oh, sorry. You see, you're missing the point. The fate of the family, it's not up to her. It's up to you. You're exactly what this family needs. You just have to see it. By yourself, after I leave.
What? You're not coming?
It was your vision, Mirabel, not mine.
You're afraid of Willow will see you.
Yep, I mean, yes, that too.
Bruno opens his secret passageway.
Hey. After you saved the miracle, come visit.
After I saved the miracle, I'm bringing you home.
He knocks on the picture frame.
Knock, 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 knock on wood.
He holds his breath, crosses his fingers, and tumbles backwards inside the path.
So during this telling of Bruno's vision, we see that the meaning is not entirely clear. It's all out of order and just small, unexplained snapshots. It's easy to understand why the family might have seen Bruno's visions with some trepidation. But here's what we do see. The previous vision with Mirabel and the cracks in the house. But this time we see them forming and disappearing with Mirabel, as well as the candle falling apart. And then we see a glowing butterfly, which even in a children's movie is known as the universal symbol of transformation. You can't misread that metaphor. Then we see the progression of Mirabel hugging her sister, Isabella, and the miracle getting stronger. Mirabel's frustrated that such a seemingly simple act as loving a family member, even one that she's not very fond of, could be what saves the miracle. She's lamenting this boring task when Bruno stops her and tells her, "The fate of the family isn't up to her, it's up to you. You're exactly what this family needs, you just have to see it." It's almost like Mirabel can't reconcile her own opinion of herself. She's always wanted to help and be important, but it's completely different when it's all on her shoulders. What we're learning and seeing as the story develops is that there is value in taking time to see and explore different perspectives, even if we don't know what they mean. That there's value in using compassion to explore the different sides of the story. Mirabel can do this because she approaches Bruno with that compassion and not the judgment her family has. So with that, she goes to Isabella to try and reconcile and connect.
She hugs Mirabel, who sees cracks disappearing. Blooms of colorful pollen jet up from around the house as the two sisters swing around on a vine, then land in the courtyard with a bed of flowers to break their fall.
You're a bad influence.
What is going on?
Abuela, it's okay. We're gonna save the miracle. The magic.
What are you talking about? Look at our home. Look at your sister.
Please, just Isabella wasn't happy.
Of course, she isn't happy. You ruined her proposal.
No, she needed me to ruin her proposal. And then we did all this and the candle burned brighter and the cracks.
Mirabel.
That's why I'm in the vision. I'm saving the miracle.
You have to stop, Mirabel. The cracks started with you. Bruno left because of you. Luisa's losing her powers. Isabella's out of control because of you. I don't know why you weren't given a gift, but it is not an excuse for you to hurt this family.
Mirabel wears a wounded expression while the ground quakes and the cracks spread across the courtyard tiles. Her sorrowful eyes shift behind her big round glasses.
I will never be good enough for you. Will I? No matter how hard I try.
She looks to her sisters and parents, standing sheepishly off to the side.
No matter how hard any of us tries, Isa will never be strong enough.
Isabella won't be perfect enough. Bruno left our family because you only saw the worst in
him. Bruno didn't care about this family.
He loves this family.
I love this family. We all love this family. You're the one that doesn't care. You're the one breaking our home.
Don't you ever.
The miracle is dying because of you.
Abuela's eyes widen in shock. A crack splits the ground between them. It spreads up the house. The third story window buckles. Mirabel makes a run for it.
Casita, get me up there!
A second story railing dislodges and lowers sideways to her like a ladder. Camilo runs along a breezeway, shapeshifting to avoid falling debris. Isabella swings on a vine, but as debris rains down on her door, she loses her grip. Rafters extend to catch her. Camilo leaps for a rooftop as Jose, but shapeshifts back to his shorter self and is unable to reach it. The house helps him land safely beside Isabella in the courtyard. Abuela sees Mirabel climbing the ladder all the way up to the rooftop below the candle. Animals burst out of Antonio's room, and a bird flies off from his shoulder. His father grabs him. They dodge debris.
We gotta get out of here!
The floor tiles swell like a wave and push her family from the house. In his crumbling crawl space, Bruno stuffs a rat in his poncho for safekeeping, then puts a bucket on his head and uses it to ram his way out through a wall. She reaches for the candle but slips on the Spanish tiles. A crack worms its way up Bruno's tower.
The house is starting to fall!
Pedro's portrait crashes to the stairs. She grabs the candle, then sees the tower collapsing and slides down the roof tiles. The house creates a ramp to guide her safely to the courtyard. Furniture forms a shelter to shield her from the collapse. As the dust settles, she finds herself unharmed. She looks at the candle in her hand, which has melted down to a nub, and watches the flame burn out. A door flaps open limply on one of the furniture pieces that's protected her. Both sides of the shelter collapse among the debris.
Mirabel!
Julieta goes to her.
Mirabel, are you hurt?
She lifts her daughter's chin. Mirabel shakes her head.
Mirabel! Don't move. I'll be right back.
Covered in dust, Mirabel blinks her sorrowful eyes. Dolores sits Abuela down. The old woman wears a hopeless gaze.
It's not the hugging that helps the candle burn brighter, but Mirabel's compassion and love for her sister that helps set Isabella free to see a different perspective of herself. And then comes the fight with Abuela. The thing that always strikes me is that you can see the shame and sadness on the sisters' faces as Abuela lashes out at the thought of doing something different. As Mirabel and Abuela argue about the source of the failing magic, the conflict is literally tearing the family and the home apart. And it just reaches a boiling point and the house falls and the candle goes out. They're arguing about the value of wrestling with discomfort, not ignoring it. There's no real villain here. The ignored brokenness is the cause of the conflict. Abuela truly believes she's protecting the miracle by following her beliefs about its maintenance and following the rules and not wandering into this murkiness of exploration. And Mirabel is pushing for her to see that the unhappiness of her family is breaking the miracle. I think it's notable here that even as Abuela is shunning her, Mirabel risks her life to save the livelihood of her family. And as we see the house fall, Mirabel sees Abuela sitting broken and realizing her worst fear, losing her home. Mirabel runs off, and this snaps Abuela into reality. And the next clip is the resolution.
Mirabel.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to hurt us. I just wanted to be something I'm not.
I've never been able to come back here. This river is where we were given our miracle.
Where Abuelo Pedro.
I thought we would have a different life. I thought I would be a different woman.
Dos oruguitas enamoradas pasan sus noches y madrugadas llenas de hambre. Siguen andando y navegando un mundo que cambia y sigue cambiando. Navegando un mundo que cambia y sigue cambiando. Dos oruguitas paran el viento mientras se abrazan con sentimiento. Siguen creciendo, no saben cuándo buscar algún rincón. El tiempo sigue cambiando, inseparables son. Y el tiempo sigue cambiando. Ay, oruguitas, no se aguanten más. Hay que crecer, aparte y volver. Hacia adelante seguirás. Vienen milagros, vienen crisálidas. Hay que partir y construir su propio futuro. Ay, oruguitas, no se aguanten más. Hay que crecer, aparte y volver. Hacia adelante seguirás. Vienen milagros, vienen crisálidas. Hay que partir y construir su propio futuro. Oruguitas desorientadas en dos capullos bien abrigadas.
I was given a miracle, a second chance, and I was so afraid to lose it. I lost sight of who our miracle was for. And I am so sorry. You never hurt our family, Mirabel. We are broken. Because of me.
Abuela, I can finally see. You lost your home, lost everything. You suffered so much all alone, so it would never happen again. We were saved because of you. We were given a miracle because of you. We are a family because of you. And nothing could ever be broken that we can't fix together.
I asked my Pedro for help. Mirabel. He sent me here.
So now we come full circle and we see the true backstory of Abuela. It's no longer this magical parable told to create wonder in children, but a story of deep pain and suffering. The story of a mother's strength and the fear of loss and pain inflicted further. Understandably, she has been so deeply broken from the loss of her husband that she's scared she won't survive it if she loses her home. See, I told you I cry every time this movie goes. I'll tell you why in a little bit. But it also shows how Mirabel's pain stemmed from Abuela's original trauma. Here, Abuela is forced to confront her trauma and pain that she carries every day. She's forced to come back to where she's given the miracle. And in processing her grief, Abuela says, I was given a miracle, a second chance, and I was so afraid to lose it that I lost sight of who the miracle was for. She's seeking to find some sort of meaning in the loss of her husband and her home, and she realizes that there just isn't any. That's not why she has the miracle. It was truly a gift with no expectations. Abuela accepts the brokenness is a part of her and a part of her family. And it's in accepting that brokenness that comes transformation, which is the whole butterfly thing. Throughout the movie, Mirabel has shown compassion and grace for every member of her family, but it's been lacking for Abuela. She sees her as rigid and she just can't move beyond that. And now she has changed and she says, Abuela, I can finally see. Realizing her grandmother needs this compassion most of all. And with that comes love and acceptance for the rest of the family, including welcoming Bruno home. In the next clip, we'll kind of see how everything else comes together.
What's that sound?
I think it's everyone in town.
They arrive with construction gear.
Hey, lay down your load, lay down your load.
Sees Mariano sighing.
Hey, Mariano, why so blue?
I just have so much love inside.
You know, I've got this cousin too. Have you met Dolores?
Okay, I'll take it from here. Goodbye. You talk so loud. You take care of your mother and you make her proud. You write your own poetry every night when you go to sleep. And I'm seizing the moment, so would you wake up and notice me?
Dolores, I see you.
And I hear you.
Let's get married.
Slow down.
All of you.
Mirabel and Abuela now stand before their rebuilt house.
Home, sweet home. I
I like the new foundation.
It isn't perfect.
Neither are we.
That's true. Just one more thing before the celebration.
What?
We need a doorknob.
We made this one for you.
Antonio places a doorknob in Maribel's hands. She looks up with surprise and sees the other family members warmly gathering around. Holding her arm, Antonio nods her toward the front door.
We see how bright you burn.
Her sisters sing to her as she passes.
We see how brave you've been. Now see yourself in time.
She passes her parents, then Bruno.
You're the real gift, kid. Let us in.
Open your eyes.
Abuela strokes her cheek.
Abre los ojos. What do you see?
Mirabel eyes her reflection in the doorknob.
I see me. All of me.
She looks at all her family members smiling at her supportively, including Abuela. One corner of Mirabel's mouth turns upward in a smile of her own. She turns to their rebuilt home, moves up the front steps, and fits the doorknob into a brass plate. Sparkles converge upon it. Mirabel's eyes widen as the shimmering brightness spreads around the front of the house. Antonio beams at the magical display. The twinkly light moves throughout the house, returning it to its former glory, then swells out into the village in an eruption of sparks. The townspeople all stand congregated at the Madrigal estate, watching the magic subside from the front door to reveal a bright new carving of the entire family. In a window above, two shutters wave open.
Hola, casita.
The roof tiles flutter and planters bounce around. Two blocks of building material yank Mirabel inside from under her feet. The others are pulled inside as well. Toucans fly around the twinkling magical doors on the breezeway, then swoop down to the Madrigal family in the courtyard. Antonio rides around on his jaguar. Isabella uses colored powders to dye her dress in an abstract pattern. As she stomps her foot, a cactus sprouts from a planter. Luisa easily hefts it up onto a table. Two donkeys ridden by Antonio flip her into a hammock. Another donkey stands by with a tray on its back, offering her a tropical drink. Felix and Peppa dance under a cloud. The tiles pull all of the family members together. A camera wobbles in on a tripod.
Everyone,
a chaotic snapshot of the family now hangs framed on a wall.
So, Abuela, Mirabel, and Bruno come home and the family is reunited. The family accepts each other just as they are. And for the first time, Mirabel also sees the value of herself as she is. This opens her up to see her true potential and brings the magic back to the family. Abuela brings the story full circle and tells Mirabel to open her eyes, abre los ojos. But this time, it's a metaphor. She's encouraging her to see all of herself and the beauty that she brings to the family and the community. And the magic returns. So kind of to sum up the open your eyes theme about compassion and grace, it's a theme that's present throughout the whole movie and consistently demonstrates how empathy and compassion help build love and tolerance. In the beginning, it becomes an explanation for a child's understanding of a miracle and magic. And then as we move through the story, it becomes a plea for understanding, an expression of internal and familial pain. And ultimately, it creates a statement for compassion and love for both the family and for oneself. The characters go from experiencing a prison of seeing only one perspective to the freedom of expecting multiple viewpoints. Wrestling with the discomfort of the unfamiliar has the benefit of building compassion, acceptance, and grace. And this is what God and Jesus ultimately teach us through loving each other. We all need grace because we all have a backstory. Within that process, mainly Abuela and Mirabel, but the whole family learn to grow and heal each other. The family becomes stronger through accepting pain and unfamiliarity. And as Christians, we are called to seek out our brokenness and pain so that we can grow in love and grace. In Ephesians, we read to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. In 1 Peter, we read, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble." And in 1 Corinthians, we read about love being vital above all else, even faith. "I may be able to speak the languages of men and even angels, but if I do not have love, it will sound like noisy brass. If I have the gift of speaking God's word, and if I understand all secrets, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I know all things, and if I have the gift of faith so that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give everything I have to feed poor people, and if I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, it will not help me." That one really spoke to me in terms of the lessons of the movie, because love and compassion is what holds it all together. Extending compassion and love to our community and to the world is one of our greatest strengths as a church, and it makes us stand out at times. I want to take some time to highlight our vision, which is in your handout today. I'm not going to make you read the whole thing word for word, but I really wanted to point out that there's so much overlap with the lessons we learn in this film. Creating a loving and accepting space for our world makes a beautiful shelter, one where we can rest and recover, but also confront our own personal fears and struggles to grow in faith. Our brokenness is welcomed and accepted here, and that acceptance spreads to our larger church community and hopefully the world. This fulfills our mission to create a place on earth as it is in heaven. Being able to open our eyes to experiences and viewpoints of others is the first step in the process of building compassion and love. Oftentimes, we need the grace and strength of God to fulfill that process. The other thing I wanted to focus on is the importance of self-acceptance in your own brokenness, or self-acceptance of your own brokenness. In the end, Mirabel finally realizes her own worth, and that gives her the power to bring the magic back for the entire family. Accepting the love of God also means accepting yourself. The pain of our life not being what we expected or wanted really does exist in many of our lives. My faith has been tested and challenged throughout my own experiences of pain and suffering. I grew up believing that if you were good and you followed the rules of God, that good things would happen to you. But over my life, I've not always found that to be the case. I could choose to be mad and blame God for not following the rules. The hardest Christian belief that I've confronted is that God does not pull all the strings. Sometimes, deep down, I'm worried that God will get me if I'm not a good enough Christian. That somehow all of my pain is a punishment. And I think I want that because it's easy to understand and I know what to expect. But as we've learned watching this movie, nothing is so simple. True acceptance of God has come from introspection and allowing myself to see the possibility of different perspective. The true challenge has been to accept the almost chaotic flow to the mystery of God. Daily, I have to ask God for strength and love to surrender to the unknown, to let go, to make a leap of faith. I also have to believe that I'm worthy of God's love and that my pain is not a punishment. In Matthew, someone asks Jesus, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets." Something I take away from this verse is that it's essential to afford love to your neighbors, but it's also essential to afford love and acceptance to yourself. This is necessary to accept God's love and to share love with the world around you. The last lesson I wanted to share with you guys that I took from this movie was the value of community. It's not just about beauty of family relationships, but also the support of the community coming together to help the family. And they say, "Lay down your load. We're only down the road." We have no gifts, but we are many, and we'll do anything for you. When the Madrigal family is broken, the community comes together to help them rebuild. And the strength of their numbers is just as strong as the miracles of the family. It's ultimately the community that makes it possible for the miracles to return too. Creating, supporting, and loving relationships is a linchpin of our church. It creates the body of Christ that we dream of experiencing. Bringing faith and love into that process helps strengthen the bonds of our community. In my own life, this community has been hugely important, especially during the hardest and best moments of our life. About 6 years ago, we lost our newborn daughter unexpectedly, and we were completely broken. My husband and I still reflect that the constant love and community of this church is what got us through the worst of times. From Matthew validating our need to be angry and confused after her loss, to people making food and just sitting with me while I cried. The love and support we felt from this community is the only thing that could meet and counter the intensity of our grief. It's also in times of beauty and joy that we have delighted in celebration with this community. It's the same love and support that was present for the birth of our second daughter. And it was so much sweeter because all of you were here when we were at our lowest. And to me, that is the miracle community. So lastly, when discussing community, I just have to give a plug for our farm. I wasn't able to participate this season because we have another family member coming in a few weeks, but the time I've spent on the farm has created a space for growth that I can honestly say I've never felt in a worship service. And it's not because we're lacking in spirit on Sundays. It's just that for the first time in my life, I've been able to put into meaningful practice so much of what I've learned here at church. The value of working the land with others to feed those in need in our community has been this wonderful gift of introspection and meaning. And the effort becomes this tangible and selfless love for ourselves or for others that really speaks to me more than other acts of worship. And I'm just so thankful it's part of our church. Another way that we experience community is the collective worship of communion, which we're going to share together in just a minute. We are all one family eating and drinking together, and everyone's welcome. Through communion, we accept and love each other. At the same time, it's a very personal act. It's symbolic of God's love and acceptance for each of us. We are all broken, but we are also all loved just as we are. So when you're ready, please come and take a piece of gluten-free cracker and some juice. You can eat and drink at the tables in the front or in the middle, or you can take it back to your seat, whatever feels most comfortable. Also at this time, you can light a candle as a form of prayer at the back of the auditorium. You can also light a candle or write out a prayer for the Ukraine at the table in the back right corner. You may want to pray with someone at the back or write out a prayer at the stations under the Journey and Growth banners and post in the frames. A team will pray with you during the week. You might like to make a financial gift and put it in the wooden towers at the back, or just sing or just listen to the music. This is a time for us to respond to God and celebrate the gift of community.